My thoughts would often return to that declaration in the weeks that followed, as I met with various members of Trinity. I decided that Reverend Wright was at least partly justified in dismissing critics who called Trinity a, quote, bougie church. The bulk of its membership was solidly working class, the same teachers and secretaries and government workers one found in other big black churches throughout the city. Residents from the nearby housing projects had been actively recruited, and programs designed to meet the needs of the poor, legal aid, tutorials, drug programs, took up a substantial amount of the church's resources. Still, there was no denying that the church had a disproportionate number of black professionals in its ranks: engineers, doctors, accountants, and corporate managers. Some of them had been raised in Trinity. Others had transferred in from other denominations. Many confessed to a long absence from any religious practice, a conscious choice for some, part of a political or intellectual awakening, but more often because church had seemed irrelevant to them, as they'd pursued careers in largely white institutions. At some point, though, they all told me of having reached a spiritual dead end, a feeling at once inchoate and oppressive, that they'd been cut off from themselves. Intermittently, then more regularly, they had returned to the church, finding in Trinity some of the same things every religion hopes to offer its converts: a spiritual harbor, and the chance to see one's gifts appreciated and acknowledged in a way that a paycheck never can. An assurance, as bones stiffened and hair began to gray, that they belonged to something that would outlast their own lives, and that, when their time finally came, a community would be there to remember. But not all of what these people sought was strictly religious, I thought. It wasn't just Jesus they were coming home to. It occurred to me that Trinity, with its African themes, its emphasis on black history, continued the role that Reverend Phillips had described earlier, as a redistributor of values and circulator of ideas. Only now, the redistribution didn't run in just a single direction, from the schoolteacher or the physician, who saw it as their Christian duty to help the sharecropper or young man fresh from the South adapt to big city life. The flow of culture now ran in reverse as well. The former gangbanger, the teenage mother, had their own forms of validation, claims of greater deprivation, and hence authenticity, their presence in the church providing the lawyer or doctor with an education from the streets. By widening its doors to allow all who would enter, a church like Trinity assured its members that their fates remained inseparably bound, that an intelligible us still remained. It was a powerful program, this cultural community, one more pliant than simple nationalism, more sustaining than my own brand of organizing. Still, I couldn't help wondering whether it would be enough to keep more people from leaving the city or young men out of jail. Would the Christian fellowship between a black school administrator, say, and a black school parent change the way schools were run? Would the interest in maintaining such unity allow Reverend Wright to take a forceful stand on the latest proposals to reform public housing? And if men like Reverend Wright failed to take a stand, if churches like Trinity refused to engage with real power and risk genuine conflict, then what chance would there be of holding the larger community intact? Sometimes I would put such questions to the people I met. They would respond with the same bemused look Reverend Phillips and Reverend Wright had given me. For them, the principles of Trinity's brochure were articles of faith, no less than the belief in the resurrection. "You have some good ideas," they would tell me. "Maybe if you join the church, you could help us start a community program. Why don't you come by on Sunday?" And I would shrug and play the question off, unable to confess that I could no longer distinguish between faith and mere folly, between faith and simple endurance. That while I believed in the sincerity I heard in their voices, I remained a reluctant skeptic, doubtful of my own motives, wary of expedient conversion, having too many quarrels with God to accept a salvation too easily won.